Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to Eternit conference call about the third quarter of 2015 earnings result. With us today in this conference call in São Paulo is Mr. Rodrigo Luz, Eternit's Chief Financial Officer and IR. I would like to inform you that this event is being recorded. At this time, all lines are in listen-only mode, and later there will be a Q&A session when further instructions to participate will be provided. If you need assistance during the call, please press the star key followed by zero. This conference call is being broadcast live on www.eternit.com.br/ir. A slide presentation and the earnings release are also available on this website. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are being made under the safe harbor of the Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1996. Actual performance could differ materially from those anticipated in any forward-looking comments and as a result of macroeconomic conditions, market risks, and other factors. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mr. Rodrigo Luz, Eternit's Chief Financial Officer and IR. Mr. Rodrigo, you may proceed.
Good afternoon to all. It is a great pleasure for me to be here with you once again to discuss the earnings in the third quarter of 2015. We'll discuss the third quarter results of 2015. To start the presentation, we turn to page three, where we have the main highlights of the period. In relation to economic figures, ABRAMAT, the Construction Sector Association, has announced a projection of 9% contraction for 2015. It's important to remember that September, according to the data released by this association, have shown a drop of around 16% in comparison to August 2015. Before, they had forecast a contraction of 7% only. Now that we have the September data available, they revisited that projection, and according to them, they expect a drop of 9% in the construction materials market. Besides that, we have two other indicators that indicate a retraction of 3.1% for Brazilian GDP, and for the construction sector, a drop of 7.8% in the construction sector GDP. Eternit, during the period that we're now comparing, and here we're talking about the actual figures, not projections. From January 2015 to September 2015, we are now therefore outperforming the sector. However, our performance was negative 3.2% using the same metrics used by ABRAMAT for the development of this indicator. This, of course, is a reflection of our sales volumes in the three major segments in which we operate: Cristal mineral, fiber cement, and concrete tiles. They have all experienced a slowdown, and we'll see in further detail how they performed. This is linked, of course, to the macroeconomic conditions and its effect on the construction materials market. Consolidated net revenue reached 245 million, a decline of 2.1%. Even selling smaller volumes, we were able to offset the decrease in volumes because of the good performance of our subsidiary, SAMA. Even with lower sales volumes of the mineral, we were able to introduce price increases along 2015, and this is now reflected directly on the 3Q15 results. This, of course, offset partly the decrease in volumes. Also, as a result of slower sales and the reduction in our operating expenses, adjusted EBITDA was 14.2%, reaching 50 million in the quarter. Our net income totaled 4.7 million, decreasing 76.7%, owing to our interest expenses, which had an impact on our profit, and also considering the appreciation of the US dollar, which of course increased our exposure. So if on one hand the appreciation of the dollar helped us boost our revenues, the impact was felt more clearly in our net income. We also would like to mention the recognitions we obtained in the areas of human resources and the commercial area in this period. In slide five, we focus on the sales of chrysotile mineral. The contraction in domestic market was of 15% versus the previous quarter of 14%. This represented 8.7%. Of course, this also in tandem with the sluggish construction materials market. And in the foreign markets, the decrease was of 31.3% due to the slowdown in Asian economies. The third quarter 14 had the benefit of a gradual recovery of the Asian economy. But now that they are on the downturn once again, our volume of exports suffered that effect. Once again, we have a contraction in the third quarter 14, but once again in the third quarter 15, it became more evident. In slide number six, we have a volume of 202,000 tons of sales of fiber cement. This volume is 13.1% down in relation to 3Q14. And just like we experienced a contraction in the domestic market for chrysotile, it's only natural that fiber cement should follow because it's the main raw material. This is also seen in the sales of fiber cement products. And we could also mention that there were some economic factors that hit this segment particularly hard. Today, we have higher unemployment rates than previously in Brazil. If we look back to 12 months, you see that unemployment rates have practically doubled. We also see that household income is dropping and credit restrictions are far harsher than in the past. So, taken all together, these factors led to slower sales of fiber cement, reaching 202,000 tons. In 3Q14, by the way, we had growth of 7.5% vis-à-vis the previous period, driven by the pent-up demand that we had in the first quarter of 2014, and the large number of construction projects taking place due to the sporting events at the time. This is yet another factor that contributes to this performance of -13.1% in the comparison to 2015. In slide number seven, we turn to the sales of concrete tiles. The behavior of this segment is basically the opposite of fiber cement. Fiber cement is a product that caters to the low-income segment of the population, those who need to build their homes and expand their current houses. On the other hand, concrete tiles is more of a high-end product. So this group of consumers many times are building their second home or their beach home, and at a time of lack of consumer confidence, they will just stop the construction work and will wait for a more favorable time to resume construction. Development companies also are experiencing a slowdown, which also had an effect on our performance. So the third quarter of 2015, in this period, we report sales of 8.6 million pieces of concrete tiles, a retraction of 20.3% in comparison to 3Q14. Now let's discuss our economic and financial information. On page nine, we see the consolidated net revenue in the third quarter 15 in comparison to the same period in the previous year. We reported a drop of 5.9%. We started off with 208 million reais and dropped to 196 million reais as a result of slower sales volumes, which were partly offset through the price increases we introduced early in the year. In the exports market, growth was of 16.7%. So even though we were marketing slower volumes or lower volumes of chrysotile mineral, since we had an appreciation of the exchange rate and maintained our sales volume, we were able to register growth of 16.7% in exports in terms of net revenue. So in the consolidated net revenue, when we look to both markets at once, the reduction was of 5 million reais in consolidated net revenue, leading to that -2.1%. And in the year-to-date figures, the first 9 months of the year, the scenario is very similar. There was a reduction of 1.7% in the domestic market and an increase of 24.5% in exports, owing to the reasons I have just discussed. In slide number 10, we see our COGS breakdown in mining and production of products. In comparison to the results we discussed in previous conference calls, we see that the COGS breakdown remains practically unchanged. It's important to highlight, however, that in both fiber cement and concrete tiles, the two most important cost components are workforce and raw materials. And as for chrysotile mineral, we have as the main cost driver materials besides workforce and raw materials as well. So this is how our costs are distributed. In relation to the gross margin, there was an increase of 3 percentage points. In 3Q14, we went from 39% and we reached 41%. This reflects, of course, this is reflected in our consolidated net revenue and is associated with lower sales volume in the compared periods. So those two factors, in association led to better gross income in comparison to the second quarter of 15, and to this increase of 3 percentage points in our gross margin.
Now, on slide 11, the adjusted EBITDA, the growth was 14% in the third quarter of 2015, as compared to the same period in the previous year. The adjusted EBITDA was 50 million and the adjusted margin was 21%. As there was an improved gross margin and also reduced operational expenses, as a result of these two factors, our adjusted EBITDA grew 14, so we reached 50 million reals in the period. This shows that even with smaller volumes associated with market conditions and also economic conditions, when we look at our consolidated business figures, our growth in terms of cash flow generation in the period was evident. Now on slide 12, net income and net margin. This shows our performance associated with our adjusted EBITDA. So there was a contraction of 76% in this period. That was 4.7 million. And this is associated with, first, our negative equity pickup results. We have had a considerable improvement in terms of our reduction, and then the exchange rate had an impact on our exchange rate exposure, and also in our association with a Colombian company, and that had a negative impact. But finally, the second item, which was more important, was the financial impact on our debt, or the interest impact on our debt. And that explains our result in net profit. To make this clearer to you, on slide 13, we added a reconciliation of our EBITDA and net income to make it easier to understand these two points I've just mentioned. So if we look on the right-hand side, on the third quarter, the adjusted EBITDA was 50 million, which we have just mentioned. And then the negative result in equity pickup was 9.9. And when it's compared to the previous year, it was 2.3. As I mentioned before, as a result of a low use of our capacity and with significant improvement in our indices. So it's just a question of time. And then the imported items to add to our portfolio, when you consider the situation of volatility and uncertainty in the exchange rate, we revisited our strategy, so we're no longer importing anything that adds little value. Our imports are now of products that have high added value. Even if the exchange rate is greater than 4 reals, the product remains profitable from an operating margin perspective. And the financial result had an impact on this venture. Our net income had this impact. Now, the consolidated result was 15.6 against 0.2 in the previous quarter. So if you include the exchange rate effect of 11.3 million of the 15, 11.3 are the effect of the exchange rate, which has had an impact in the third quarter in 2015. So the dollar appreciated considerably in this quarter, and as a result, we had this result. Now the IRTF was made almost stable, and as a result, our net income was 4.7 against the 20 which was presented in the previous period. Now on slide 14, it's about our debt. So the net debt on September 30th was 160 million, and then it's almost one time the EBITDA. The adjusted EBITDA is of 0.81. Then the debt, 58% is denominated in foreign currency and 42% in national currency. Those who have attended our conference call in the second quarter, you may remember that I mentioned and discussed our exposure in foreign currency. On the 30th of June, 15 was much higher than it is today. So we took the necessary steps to address these issues and to protect us from this exposure. So along the quarter, the action was taken. So I'll just give you information that will help explain the situation. On the 30th of June, our coverage for the position or hedge was 65%. So we closed the quarter on the 30th of September with a hedge of 86%. So 86% of our debt in foreign currency is now hedged with the accounts receivable from our exports. Now, this October, we reached 100% hedge. So we're not expecting to have significant impacts as the exchange rate variation on our earnings for the next periods, for the next terms, as we now are hedged. On slide 15, we have our expenditures, capital expenditure and investment. In the third quarter, the minimal investment was 1.5 million. And this is much lower than what was made in previous quarters. And this is a result of the new ventures and new business. So, as a result, it was not necessary to invest so much in the third quarter. For this reason, the investment volume was low. Our CapEx and maintenance investment historically is around 35 to 40 million. So in the year to date, in 2015, 28 million is the figure in our CapEx forecast for the year. It should be 40 million, which means that we are in line with what was planned. Let's now move on to slide 17 about capital markets and our shareholding structure, which remains stable, generally speaking. We have maybe a variation of 2 to 3 percentage points, but roughly speaking, it remains stable. So 70% of our shareholding structure is of individual investors, 19, almost 20% of them are clubs, funds, and foundations, and then investors abroad, 8%. The major shareholders, the Geração L Par, that's 13.8, and the greatest shareholder is Mr. Paris Soto and Luis Barz Filho, also 13.75. Victor Adler, 7.59%, the directors, 11.12%, and treasury stocks, 0.03%. Then we have our board of directors and our board of auditors. So this data is from October. They're more updated. So at the end of this quarter, this month, we have a free float following the regulations of the BMF, Bovespa, Novo Market Regulations. The free float was 84.6%. Slide 18, our remuneration policy versus net income. In 2015, the cumulative net income until September was 42 million, and we have already paid out as dividends and interest on our equity, 35 million has been distributed. So the payout again is aligned with the 2014 payout figure of 83, which is higher than the 2013 payout figure. So when we consider the indicators, this is the performance we've had. Crisotil, there is no news related to Crisotil. Nothing new with regard to our last conference call. The lawsuit is still being tried by the Supreme Court in Brazil and also the Labor Prosecutor's Office. So no, we have no major news about this development. There are no highlights that should be made. As soon as we have relevant information, we will let the market know timely. Now on slide 22, there are some highlights, and we have listed them in HR, Human Resources. Both Eternit and SEMA were awarded and they've also been awarded previously as the best companies to work for. Eternit was in the Você S.A. Award, Magazine Award, and SEMA was again among the 150 best companies to work for both Você S.A. and Great Places to Work, both these rankings. So the employees elected these two companies through these two reputable surveys. So our company was considered one with a healthy environment, a great place to work. And then the Anamarco Award for 2015 was also earned, which attested that we have high quality products in commercial terms. So these were the major highlights of our results and our earnings. So we are now at your disposal to answer your questions or any other points that may not have been very clear in this presentation.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press the star key followed by 1. To remove your question from the list, press star 2. Our first question comes from the web, Mr. Loreto. How does Eternit view the conditions, the market conditions for its products in 2016? Mr. Loreto, thank you very much for your question. In 2015, well, we were expecting this to be a very challenging year. And this is the outlook we expect for 2016 as well. Our macroeconomic conditions in terms of resuming growth, and here, of course, I'm talking not about the company's performance, but rather of the Brazilian economy at large. We believe this is possible. We believe that it's possible to recover our growth. There are some concerns, for example, the increase in the unemployment rate and credit restrictions. All of this could have a very substantial impact on the economy. And also the indicators coming from the civil construction industry do not look so favorable. So therefore, we believe that 2016 will be a challenging year. Now, from the perspective of the company, what is our strategy in periods like this? We have to become more competitive so that even when operating at lower volumes or stable volumes, for example, when we make a comparison to 2013 and up to September 2014, we know that there has been a decrease in volumes. So as a result of this, we have to become even more competitive in order to preserve our margins and the profitability of our business. But of course, it will be a challenging year. This is what we expect. Our next question is from Santiago Gottschalk, shareholder. Good morning, Rodrigo. Well, here's my question. When we look at the numbers, the presentation, of course, focused on consolidated figures, but when you look to the controlling company and you try to find a different reason for the drop in net income, because, of course, with the consolidated figures, we have to take into account the exchange rate variations and the exposure in foreign-denominated debt. For example, we see that equity pickup has always been a very important factor for your performance as controlling company. And SAMA is always the flagship company, let's say, that they contribute with most of the gold because they generate cash, they are profitable, 70 million in income in the first 9 months of the year, and this has remained stable. Now, when you look at the other companies that make up the portfolio, you see it's different. The last year, they had a loss of 7 million, and this year this figure rose to 33 million in losses. CSC, 22 million. Tegla, 5 million. So the issue seems to be coming from those companies. Last year, losses were too insignificant to compromise your performance, but this is no longer the case. The losses of those companies have actually compromised half of the income in the first 9 months of the year. So once again, I would like to ask you, you know, how is the board looking at the performance of those companies? You know, time has passed since these investments, and they have not turned out to be profitable enough. And of course, having profitable business is the core activity of Eternit. And besides
Salma, you know, year after year, you see that losses just tend to be piling up. So this is my comment to you. I would like to know, how does the board view this issue? Thank you very much, Santiago, for your participation. With your question, I have an opportunity to explain in more length this issue, and probably I was not clear enough during the presentation. When we look to the performance of the controlling company, there is an impact, yes, without even considering equity pickup. And this impact is something that, of course, is driven by the economic activity, both in the mining company and in the companies that sell products containing our main raw material. I think that your interpretation is just right, and it doesn't require any additional comments on my part. As for Tegula, we see that it's running into a loss. It's and this owing to low use of its capacity. So what we are discussing with the board is the possibility of reducing our capacity so that it matches the demand coming from the market, avoiding losses as such, and so that we, of course, can meet demand without any excess or at least break-even. And as for cash break-even, Tegla is still operating in the positive, but of course I'm talking about the cash operating break-even. So regarding Tegula, those are the steps we're discussing together with the board. As for the South American Ceramic Company, this is a venture, as you mentioned, by the way, that some years have passed, and, well, it seems that profit is not as expected. But when you start a bathroom ceramic plant, it takes at least 3 years to see a significant improvement in productivity. Our partners that have operated in this market for over 40 years, and all newly built plants, performance was just the same. So we have a positive outlook, and we believe that next year we'll have a much better performance. Another negative impact on this venture was depreciation of the U.S. dollar. As I discussed in the presentation, when talking about consolidated results, the impact of the appreciation of the dollar was especially felt on those three companies. Firstly, South American Ceramic Company, because of our exposure in dollar-denominated debt, and also the importation of products to complement our portfolio. We believe that we'll be able to correct these problems by the end of this fiscal year, thus putting an end to the imports of low added value products and also reducing our exposure. And here I am referring exclusively to the South American Ceramic Company, Compañía Sulamericana de Cerámica. So from the point of view of improvement in our bottom line, I think that, you know, the positive, the outlook is positive for 2016. As for our new project in the Amazon, we have just completed the installation of the machinery and equipment in the research center, and the equipment is imported. So the losses occurred in the third quarter because debt was originated in U.S. dollars. And also we have to take into account that this site is still not operational. So from a strategic point of view, those two ventures that I have just described, we believe they're very valid, and we are constantly discussing what could be done to mitigate the impact they are suffering as of the third quarter of 15. Many steps have been taken, and in October, our exposure in foreign currency debt in the controlled companies, the subsidiaries, and in some of has already been overturned, this negative effect. So we don't expect huge impact if the current market conditions remain stable. So the comments I wanted to make about your comment, the remarks I wanted to share with you, and I thank you very much for your question because it allowed me an opportunity to explain in greater detail the business of the company. Thank you very much, Rodrigo. Our next question is from Mr. José Roberto from Banco do Brasil. Does Eternit have a plan to produce synthetic fiber tiles for Brazil if asbestos is banned? Will you resume payout of dividends? Thank you very much, Roberto, for your questions. In our portfolio, we have tiles made with chrysotile. We have a mining company that produces this mineral, and we sell it both in the domestic market and overseas. In relation to synthetic fiber, where there is a demand for chrysotile mineral, we market those products. But however, if there is a market with a demand for fiber cement using alternative fiber, we also have this product available. So our strategy is always to supply market needs, whether with chrysotile mineral or with alternative fiber. As for the resumption of dividend payout, and this is another topic that we're constantly discussing at the board, and considering the market conditions at this time and the results we have obtained up to September 2015, we'll pay dividends provided two conditions are met. In the third quarter, remuneration was just on interest on capital because performance didn't allow us to do anything more than that. But in principle, we'll always prefer interest on equity because this, of course, entails some tax benefits. And as for dividends, we'll go back to the discussion every quarter and at the end of the fiscal year. This will be deliberated by the board on those occasions.
Our next question comes from the web, Mr. Carlos Enrique. He's an investor. What is your expectation with regards to the company's sales? Thank you, Carlos, for asking this question. So as we mentioned, there's this contraction in our sales volumes, both in chrysotile, fiber cement, and our concrete business. In the year to date, in chrysotile, we had the contraction of 5, and fiber cement 5, and concrete 25. So in our opinion, this performance is or was a result of the sector's performance levels. When you compare September to August 2015, there was a drop of 16%. But then, as we have a strategic location with over 16,000 points of sales, as well as the strength of our brand, we achieved a performance that is considerably positive as compared to the sector's reported performance level. So, in our opinion, if the market conditions remain, we will keep up work and we will have a similar sales volumes. In the fourth quarter is a quarter that has a higher demand seasonally because there's higher credit availability and also temporary employment. But then, as I said, our income distribution had an impact when compared to previous years. In addition, temporary jobs in the current economic conditions may be lower than expected. So our prospect, if the current market conditions remain, we are expecting to have very similar sales volumes in 2016, very similar to 2015. Our next question through the web, Carlos Enrique, an investor. Does the company want or intend to invest in new projects in 2016? Carlos, as for investing in new projects, first, we have to consolidate our investment that has already been made. This investment is strategic. We need to consolidate them to use our capacity. So in terms of CapEx investment, in 2016, we're expecting to repeat the same CapEx as before. The next question from the web, Mr. Adiomar Perufo. Compañía Sulamericana is gaining ground in Brazil. What is the average gains of this company? Thank you for taking part by asking your question. Our ceramic business, we started in it in 2008 and 2009. At first, we used capacity of third parties. Research then showed that this was in line with our strategy. We wanted to launch or to add new products to our portfolio. So research showed that the market would easily accept a new player in this sector. So in order to have a safer entry in this sector, we found some partners and entered into strategic alliances to provide or supply this product. So they manufactured for us, and we sold for them in this country. So now with our new distribution capacity and delivery times, the strength of our brands, and the strategic location of our plants, every site was like a distribution center or warehouse. So the products left the plant, and as fiber cement, on average, has a turnaround of 15 days, we now have the possibility, and we're working on this, to have deliveries in the interior of the north or northeast of Brazil on an average delivery period of 72 hours. So resellers can buy 5, 10, 15, 20 pieces and be delivered in these 72 hours. As a result, we can stand out in this segment. And this, of course, led to a leveraging of our business. So when we sold a very meaningful, very significant volume, we decided to start this venture with one of the leading companies in the ceramic sector, the bathroom ceramic sector. So currently in Brazil, we have 130,000 stores of construction materials. These data come from Anamaco. In fiber cement, considering both direct and indirect, we serve about 30,000, and a large part of these clients are being then supplied with bathroom ceramic fixtures. And this was a considerable achievement in this sector. Now, with our improved productivity levels in our ceramic fixture plant, with a more appropriate portfolio, we can now reach a higher reselling volume for the sales of Eternit materials. The next question, Matheus Moura Mato of the Matheus Moura Group. Taking into account your equity pickup results, what is the prospect for CSC? Thank you, Matheus, for your question. Well, in the previous question, when I answered it, I think I may have answered your question. I'd just like to add something about the prospects. This is a question of strategy, and we're expecting to have a very good position for this venture. You should remember that if you want to ask questions, please press star 1. The next question from the web, José Roberto of Banco do Brasil. What is the prospect of the Supreme Court to try the lawsuit on asbestos? Because it was filed for a long time, especially the inconstitutionality and the prohibition of this from the state of São Paulo.
In the possibility that, you know, the flow of hearings continue according to our legal counsel, since the spotlight is now on different topics in the media, at this time, we believe that the Supreme Court does not attach our claim that much importance. They are very busy with other things. So currently, we don't expect, or we don't have a timeline. And as you have said, these lawsuits have been dragging for years in the Supreme Court. The State of São Paulo Act dates from 2007, and in 2008, or since 2008, we have this anti-constitutionality claim in the courts. So, in fact, you can ship asbestos in the state of São Paulo, but that really doesn't go into the merits of the suit. So, in reply to your question, we have to keep track of the developments. We always publish on our website reports about the new developments, and we keep track also of the agenda of hearings in the Supreme Court to see whether things will continue to be stalled or if there's something new going on. But in our view of things, there is no clear timeline, and the Supreme Court does not give this issue much priority because of other things taking place in Brazil. Excuse me. I would like to turn it over now for Mr. Rodrigo Luz for his final remarks. Mr. Rodrigo, you may proceed. Once again, I would like to thank you all for participating in this conference call. And, you know, on a regular basis and specifically in this conference call. And I would like to let you know that we'll have some meetings with investors and with the capital market representatives very soon. We'll have a public meeting in the city of Porto Alegre. It will be held on November 17. So our colleagues from Rio Grande do Sul and Porto Alegre will be there, and you're all invited to join us. This is a public meeting taking place on November 17. And on November 26, we'll be in the city of Rio de Janeiro talking to our investors and presenting our financial performance in the 3Q15. So you're all invited. It will be a great pleasure to see you in this meeting. And I hope that I'll get a chance to see you then. So on behalf of the IR team, we would like to make ourselves available for any questions you might have. We have several channels of contact that you can make use of. And if needed, all you have to do is reach out to our IR team. Thank you all for participating. And have a great day, a great weekend. Thank you very much. This conference call is now closed. We thank you all for listening in. Have a great day.